All right. So, as often happens, it's a challenge to follow John. But a pleasure. Yes, interesting things were happening in the society. And a lot of things came together because nobody was really in charge of this until somebody took charge as John did, as both the task force leader and as president. And one of the really big deals was to hire Jonathan Moore. So come on up here. So let me do that introduction too. So we have with us also from the Hill. So these are people who actually see what is in the Farm Bill and make sure that it says what it needs to say. So Kelly Adesina and Jeremy Witt. So, Jonathan, do you want to tell us first what we...
Many of y'all are educators, scientists. You're all about teaching, making sure folks learn. I have not learned my lesson fully. Because in 2007, my first year at your policy consultant when I was hired, we were out of Phoenix, Arizona. It was about 130 degrees. And I had to follow that. My very first time addressing ASA show, and I was still learning the alphabet soup of all the research programs. And right in the front row was Dr. Gail Buchanan, who was the Undersecretary for Research. About pressure. I thought I had learned my lesson. I've come full circle 11 years later. I'm calling Dr. Park again, but that's right. I'm a little wiser and certainly a lot more appreciative of all that y'all do. And by the way, that picture was Secretary Johan.
So I'm glad you remember that.
That was a great day because we actually had two offices where we walked in and nobody expected to see the member, and the member just happened to walk through. And of course, you know, it's always good to have Dr. Park on these things. I'm a native Alabamian, and we had a certain politician there, might have heard of him, Fort Collins. He used to say, you've always got to put it down where the goat can get at it. And that's one thing that Dr. Park always does, and which is very valuable to have. So thank you. Again, for all that you've done. Before I get to a few other things, I also want to give a shout out to Dr. Tom Hewitt and Dr. Thomas Bjorkman. Obviously, as Dr. Clark mentioned, Dr. Bjorkman was the genesis behind getting this whole policy committee together and made many trips to the beautiful team in New York to talk to him about various issues. And then Dr. Hewitt, while he, and I want to stress this, we don't talk about politics, we don't talk about the Hill, but him to talk about the programs, what they mean, what the interconnections are, what the policies of NIFA are, and it really helps me a lot when I go to the Hill to be able to explain these programs and what they're doing. So thank you for the many times that you've been available. Dr. Cazani talked about stakeholders and talked about working together as a team and not having a lot of tension between groups that are working together well. That is so critical for what we do with politics because the specialty crop community is showing a united front, very, very important. And what the policy committee does, what I do on your behalf when I go to USDA, when I go to the Department of Energy, when I go to Capitol Hill, is translating what these programs do for you and then what you in turn do for the end user, which is the customer, the consumer. So it is all about stakeholder value. It is all about stakeholder use. And again, you make my job a lot easier for the research that you do. We were just talking about a previous seminar that we were in that research is not a subsidy, and that's a big message that I take to the Hill. So in closing, the 11 years, this is now my third farm bill that I've been an advocate for what you do, primarily with research and horticulture models that I cover in the farm bill and then annual appropriations. Those appropriations cover everything from land grant research, outreach, extension, SARE program, and then of course the Farm Bill. We have the all-important SCRI, we have organic research, we We have beginning farmer ranchers, and we have the all-important special crop block grants, among other things. So
this is the alphabet soup that I work with. It's great to make connections. It's great to get you to the offices, the people that you need to see. ASHS is a player, and I'll give you two examples. Dr. Clark mentioned one of them about helping to put some language in the previous farm bill for SCRI. We were amongst the group creating the two-tier or the two review panel process. There's one other I'll mention, too. You had brought up, I guess, in 2007, something called the Clean Plant Network. It was a new idea that was coming out. I was able to track it down, find out who the supporters of Congress was, who the sponsor was. We signed on as a supporter of that, and about 4 years ago, we were able to help insert language in the farm bill that allows for possible increases with the Clean Plant Network each year. Again, it's something that many of you know. You know in your grants, you know in your teaching syllabuses and what have you, syllabi, is that a subjunctive clause can make all the difference in the world. And that's the same way with legislation. It can impact the program's effectiveness, it can impact the program's funding, and it can impact the program's duration. Even. So having someone in Washington, having a seat at the table is what it's all about, to get your views to Congress. And so here with us today are these two distinguished staffers from the House Agriculture Committee. We wanted to have a little bit of an open discussion about what's going on and with the Farm Bill and some other issues. And I don't want to call you children at all. They're products. They are products. Kelly Alexander comes from New Jersey. She went to Bethune-Cookman and then Ohio State for law school. Jeremy Witt is from New Mexico. He went to New Mexico State School of Dr. Paul Boslin, and I think it was Maggie Collins, which is your major. Kelly is with the House Agriculture Committee, as is Jeremy, the minority staff and the majority staff. So we're not part of it here. And we just want to talk a little bit about where we are. I have put out a suggestion, and I think we have a letter which Dr. Cohen may have mentioned that we're supporting the Senate version of the Farm Bill for several reasons. I'll list two. One, it is baseline protection for organic farmers and organic research. And most important, it provides $80 million for SCRI, the census research component, and puts it in the miscellaneous fund. So for those reasons alone, we're on that track. But Kelly, I thought I'd start off. Where we are with the Farm Bill, specifically something called Congress, where the House and Senate, hopefully soon, will get together and iron out.
So I'm
sorry
to see Maria, but please let me know if you So the House passed the bill, Senate also passed it through Senate 86-11. So now we are trying to move to Congress. The House has passed a motion to move to Congress. Maybe Tom Marie's about 4-7 in total. And then that's not a lot, but we have a number of limited companies, and we have a limited purpose companies, meaning that they have been assigned just for a specific purpose. So there are maybe 4 or 5 different committees where we touch upon their jurisdiction or their jurisdiction. So, for example, Oversight and Government Reform, we do have 2 Republicans, 1 Democrat member as a conferee for the purpose of dealing with those specific provisions that deal with Oversight and Government Reform. For the Senate has not named its conferees as of yet. They have not agreed to go to conference. We've heard for weeks now that they will be any day. Now that we will make that motion to the conference so that we can then start proceedings formally. Typically, you have at least 1 public meeting, and then after that, you have two committee staff. But that's where we are in terms of the process. On a staff level, we're just starting to speak with the Senate counterparts in terms of just getting a feel for the differences between the 2 bills, because there is some differences.
Well,
What are we with indirect costs? That's always an issue with researchers, especially vis-a-vis the land grant business.
So with the indirect costs, there are a number of things. I think the first thing is that we are trying to deal with NIFA-related grant projects. So in the House bill, there's a provision that changes the indirect cost cap from 22% to 30%, and that should be inclusive of sub-grantings as well. What we heard from folks is that the main grantee might take in 22% for the indirect cost, and the sub-grantee took another 22%. So what we're trying to do is make sure that that 30% would be increased to 30% inclusive of any sub-grantees indirect costs as well. So that's something that was included in the House bill. There was another change recently by USDA. They set up the minimum limits on indirect costs, and so that's a separate issue. There was some errors to indirect costs, but that's not touched upon in the House version.
Just to add to that, the indirect costs language that they increased from 22% to 30%, that language has already been included in many appropriation bills throughout the last several years. So really, you're not going to see any differences on the ground in terms of how much funding gets reserved for ORAD costs and other costs. So we're just kind of codifying what the Appropriations Committee has already been deciding how to use that funding. What you will see the difference is kind of setting the subgrants and which funds you're allowed to save for indirect costs within those subgrants.
I have a question. My name is Tom Gill, I'm the director of SDRI. The appropriations language has been specific to Apple. And SDRI has been continued to be capped at 23%. So will the Farm Bill language change that so that all competitive programs can be 30%? Or?
It will be. I believe so. All programs will be 30%. So yeah, yes, SDRI.
What's the increase?
Just to add, conference Civics 101, you have to have bills from the House and Senate to have the same language, not only in terms of policy, but funding, before it goes to the President for signature. I wanted to add that 4 years ago, we had a delay in the Farm Bill, largely based on the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance. There were a few other things with farm credit and what have you, but I think SNAP had over there during policy credit. I wanted to talk about where we are with SNAP this go round, and I won't quote you, but you think we may have a farm bill by September, October?
Yes. The short answer is yes. I mean, Chairman Conaway is speaking on behalf of Chairman Conaway, 100% of the goal is to get a farm bill done by September 30th, regardless of the policy. You know, as Kelly said, there are significant policy differences throughout the bill. The research panel, not so much. There's some differences here and there, but for the most part, those are things that we can pretty easily negotiate, I think. But the nutrition policy, I mean, there's significant differences. General Conaway believes in the policy reform that we have. Senate doesn't include that, and so there's going to be a vigorous debate about that. But the overall goal is to definitely get the bill done by September 30th. And I think all four corners of the process are in agreement that that's the most important out of all
Absolutely. That's the goal, to get the farm bill done on time. Ranking Member Peterson supports that goal 100%. He's always voted for farm bills at a committee on the floor, so this is the first time he voted against it. You know, it's no question, it's very obvious that the SNAP policies have been stickler, and there's major concerns that Representative Peterson has. So we will have to address those policy concerns as we move forward with the conference. The Senate is in a very different place on the policy, so there's quite a bit of distance to go, but the goal is to reach some type of consensus so we can have a farm bill.
I have to ask a bombshell question, and that's with SFRI. As I mentioned, we're supporting the Senate version because they take citrus out. Do you think the House will accede to that, or do you see that going to come?
Sure. I mean, we're still evaluating how the Senate. So they wrote this SERI program so that they don't continue the citrus reservation. The current program reserves $25 million of the income that goes to SERI specifically for citrus. But in exchange for that, they create a new program, the Citrus Trust Fund, to kind of operate in the same way, to provide some dollars to be able to help the citrus community and take that money from a little different place. And so we were certainly open to reviewing that. We certainly are asking a lot of questions about where that money comes from and what it can be used for. One of our concerns is that we really, as mentioned earlier by Dr. Clark and others, the relevancy review process with an SERI is I think, the gold standard when it comes to competitiveness and how programs are reviewed. And if we take the citrus reservation out of SCRI and rely on this new trust fund to pay for some of these citrus programs, then we're going to lose that relevancy in the review process with respect to citrus. And so there's just a broader discussion to add. Maybe the best solution would be to combine the two and just increase SCRI to, you know, $105 million rather than creating a separate program for citrus. But I mean, again, we're still reviewing. We don't know kind of where we'll end on behalf of the Callaway staff, but I mean, it's a question that we're going to have. And
it's a possible increases for SCRI in the new farm bill. And I want to close with just two things before I move, and that is both the House and Senate leadership call this farm bill evolutionary, not revolutionary. So you see this as just a progression of what we've had for the last 5 years, some tweaking here and there.
I think in the research space, definitely evolutionary, not revolutionary. I think other voices within the farm bill, like when the nutrition title, I think some others would have different ways to characterize that. But when we entered this process, we had significant funding limitations. It wasn't like the previous farm bill where we had just a bunch of extra money to be able to barrel everywhere. That's why you saw SCRI get a significant increase in the last farm bill, same with Blotter and same with the Plant Pest and Disease Program. This farm bill, we were writing a baseline bill, so we wrote a bill that did not spend any more than the previous farm bill. That gave them limitations because some of the smaller programs, such as organic research and farmers, those programs did not have what we call baseline, and so we had to find that money from other areas within the farm bill. So some savings that we had in nutrition, some savings we had in conservation, we had to find that money and bring it to the research fund just to get to where we were in the previous bill. And so that's why it's evolutionary. We felt like it's the research funding the same. We gave a little bit of an increase to OREI, the organic program. But I think going into the process, we were in defense mode trying to make sure that we kept these programs that were working funded and able to execute going forward.
In closing, these are the two folks that make it happen. Get the question, but these are the folks that I work with. These are the folks who really put pen to paper and make things a reality. This is also how important it is to have a voice in Washington if you get to know distinguished people like this. We were supposed to have two aides from the Senate side who couldn't make it because they're working on a Farm Bill conference motion this week. We told them, stay at your battle station. It's much more important than to be here.
So you also tell them that the House is better than the Senate.
Right. So I just want to thank you guys for being here. Probably see you again.
Yeah, I wanted to ask also the support you're giving.